Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
A reading from Isaiah. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen to those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will read responsibly Psalm 116. I love the Lord who has heard my voice and listened. For the Lord has given ear to me.
Whenever I call.
The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. Then I called upon the name of the Lord.
O Lord, pray.
Gracious is the Lord and righteous. The Lord watches over the innocent. Turn again to your rest, O my soul.
Lord.
For you have rescued my life from death. I will walk in the presence of the Lord. A reading from James. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a fire is set ablaze by a small fire! And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as the world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species. But no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others, Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. We live in a culture that celebrates the self-made person. In this culture, identity is a construct of the self. In so many ways, it is understood as something that comes from within. Personal agency in making ourselves, in forming identity, is understood to be central. Of course, there are other cultures where identity is not so much an individual, personal, self-made thing, but rather in those cultures, identity is a function of relationships. There are vestiges of these ways of identity that linger as artifacts in our language, in our surnames. You know them. Johnson, Larson, Smith, and so many more identify ways to relationship and according to trade or vocation. In Jesus' time, identity was much more the latter. People were who they were because the community identified them as such. Jesus asking his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" is not about some failure of self-identity, but rather it is a function of his testing the community's understanding of who he is. The question put to his disciples as Peter offering a title with an identity, perhaps better put, Peter's confession, "You are the Messiah," gets the title right, but misses the mission implications. Some scholars suggest that it is precisely because the disciples did not understand the full meaning of being the Messiah, the beloved, the chosen of God, the bearer of liberation for an occupied people, that Jesus sternly ordered them not to tell anyone. Identity is important. Identity, especially as it affects the sense of call, has deep implications. Within our Lutheran understanding, we see identity to be both from outside ourselves, given and claimed by God through the waters of our baptism, and from within. The movement of the Holy Spirit urging us forward and into understanding, into relationship with God. Is not a whole lot of what we are up to in our faith formation processes in Sunday school and catechism and Bible study all about helping each one of us hear God's claim on us, to hear God's gift of identity for us and for one another? Certainly, if such identity lays claim to us in a call, Then the ELCA call process that susses out both the internal sense of call and the external sense of call, that which comes from within us and that which is tested against what others see in us. That understanding is spot on. But such identity, such call, has consequences. Jesus knew this for himself. He knew that the journey that they were on was one that would lead to a cross on a hill. He knew that it would lead to betrayal and to trial and to crucifixion. He knew the cost of living into the depth of his identity, into his call. Peter just could not go there. This same Peter who got the answer right, probably understood the Messiah to be, well, a military conqueror on the order of Cyrus, who would overthrow the occupying forces, the overlords. He just could not see victory in death and resurrection. Frankly, I suspect we live in a place quite similar to Peter's. We despise the death of friends and family and relatives. We deny aging at every turn, and we certainly try to avoid death more often than not. In fact, it's become rather large business enterprise. But Jesus is focused on what is. Peter is focused on very human understandings of what the Messiah means. So when Peter calls him aside, Jesus rebukes him right back. Now, mind you, some of you have heard me talk about the role of Hasatan in the Hebrew tradition. Hasatan, or as we call him, Satan, is not so much a personification of evil, though it can be, as it is a role of a person who tests the limits of faith. Think Job. Peter was offering Jesus an easier way forward, but Jesus tells the tempter, the tester, to get behind him. So identity leads to mission, and this mission is clear. From this, Jesus launches into a teaching moment. If any want to become my followers, if any want to join my mission, there are three things you need to do. First, set aside your sense of who you are. Forget your personal claims to identity. Find your identity in me, in Jesus. Second, take up the cause of justice. God's justice, a justice that is deeply grounded in grace, in love, in forgiveness, in reconciliation. Retribution does not have any place in this system of God's justice. Take up your cross, which is to act on behalf of the well-being of others. And finally, follow Jesus. Following Jesus often takes us to the boundaries and even beyond the boundaries. Following Jesus puts us in table fellowship with outcasts, with those who are too easily deemed worthless by the world. Following Jesus announces and lives love for all people, seeks reconciliation, and offers new life. Following Jesus takes discipline. And when that discipline is lived well, each one of us grows into deeper and renewed awareness of how Jesus claims us and gives us new identity through the waters of our baptism by God's grace for the sake of the world. Let this identity, this mission, indeed, this discipline, be clear. Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.